Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopijana Balava Girivara Dari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Jamuna Tira Vandachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopijana Balava Girivara Dari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Jamuna Tira Vandachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Radha Madhava Asasaki Kidai Sapapada Kidai. Narayanam Namaskrityam. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devam Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tato Jayam Udirayat. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.1.2, The History of the Life of Ajamayana. Pravritti Lakshanash Chaiva. Pravritti Lakshanash Chaiva. Trigunya Vishayo Mune. Trigunya Vishayo Mune. Pravritti Lakshanas Chaiva. Trigunya Vishayo Maye. Trigunya Vishayo Mune. Yo Sav Alina Prakriter. Yo Sav Alina Prakriter. Yo Sav Alina Prakriter. Guna Sarga Puna Puna. Pravritti Lakshanas Chaiva. Trigunya Vishayo Mune. Yo Sab Alina Prakriter. Guna Sarga Puna Puna.
time, buddy.
Pravritir lakshana shaiva. Trigunya vishayo mune. Yosav. Alina Prakritir. Sarga. Puna. O great sage, Sukadeva Goswami, unless the living entity is freed from the infection of the material modes of nature, he receives different types of bodies in which to enjoy or suffer. And according to the body, he is understood to have various inclinations. By following these inclinations, he traverses the path called Pravritti Marg, by which one may be elevated to the heavenly planets, as you have already described in the third canto. Please repeat. O great sage, Shukadev Goswami, unless the living entity is freed from the infection of the modes of material nature, he receives different types of bodies in which to enjoy or suffer. And according to the body, he is understood to have various inclinations. By following these inclinations, he traverses the path called Pravritti Marg, by which one may be elevated to the heavenly planets, as you have described in the third canto. As Lord Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita 9:25, Yanti Deva Vrata Devan Pitrin Yanti Pitrir Vrataha Bhutani Yanti Bhuteja Yanti Ma Yajino Pimam. Those who worship the demigods will take mirth amongst the demigods. Those who worship the ghosts and the spirits will take mirth amongst sense beings. Those who worship the ancestors go to the ancestors, and those who worship me will live with me. Because of the influence of the various modes of material nature, the living entities have various tendencies or propensities, and therefore they are qualified to achieve various destinations. As long as one is materially attached, he wants to be elevated to the heavenly planets because of his attraction to the material world. The Supreme Personality of God declares, however, those who worship me come to me. If one has no information about the Supreme Lord and his abode, one tries to be elevated only to the higher material position. But when one concludes that in this material world there is nothing but repeated birth and death, he tries to return home back to Godhead. If one attains that destination, he need never return to the material world. Yad gatva na nivartante tadama paramam mama. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Maj 19, 151, Ramanda Brahmite Kon Bhagyavan Ji Guru Krishna Prasade Paya Bhakti Lata Bij. According to their karma, all living entities are wandering throughout the entire universe. Some of them are being elevated to the upper planetary systems. Some are going down to lower planetary systems. Out of many millions of wandering living entities, one who is very fortunate gets an opportunity to associate with a bona fide spiritual master by the grace of Krishna. By the mercy of both Krishna and the spiritual master, such a person receives the seed of the creeper of devotional service. All living entities are rotating throughout the universe, going up sometimes to the higher planetary systems, sometimes down to the lower planetary systems. This is a material disease, which is known as Pravritti Marg. When one becomes intelligent, he takes to Nivritti Marg, the path of liberation. And thus, instead of rotating within this material world, he returns home, back to Godhead. This is necessary. So, any comments? Yeah, that's right. Yeah. 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 Yeah, things that you should yama niyama.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think that means yama niyama, which can be different here than pravritti. Yeah, because I know we have pravritti nivritti. And again, it's all this detailed Sanskrit. It's the first time I've heard that, you know. But it could be probably. Yeah. Yeah. Usually this means being involved in material consciousness. Yeah. 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 Well, nama, yama, niyama, same way we talk about those. You know. Yeah. Achahara, prayasas, job, alpha, niyamagraha, same as the word. Yeah, niyamo, let's go. Yeah, that's the final conclusion of nivritti is bhakti. You know, Prabhupada was saying earlier. That if somebody's, but if somebody's a pure devotee, then he can just go directly back to God. It doesn't have to.
No, because the third canto is where is
second canto. It's where it's described like that. He's, you know, the process. You know, Sri Goswami is describing this, and he says, you know, akarma, sarva karma. You give up all these things, just worship God, and go back to the spiritual world. He says, but if the yogi still maintains some material desires, then he can go back gradually and experience these different planetary systems. He talks about going to the Vaishnava planet and burning up this and going to this and this and this. It's in the second canto. He goes to the Sishumaru, you know, goes to that. And finally he goes to Brahmaloka. And then Brahmaloka becomes an associate of Brahma. And when Brahma leaves his body, then he goes back to the spiritual world. Yeah. So nivritti is the progressive pathway out of the material world. Pravritti is the involvement in the material world. Like that. And bhakti, you know, is taken directly to the service of Krishna, and automatically, you know, you don't have to experience these things. But again, as I mentioned yesterday, there's probably, you know, we're all like not pure devotees, and so we experience these things, you know. Prabhupada says that a devotee may have inauspicious dreams. Like you have a dream of having sex with your mother or something like that. You know? And Prabhupada says because, you know, we have these animalistic tendencies still. You know? And so rather than having us experience these things by taking different bodies, Krishna, for a devotee, he accelerates the thing, allows him to experience these things in dreams, like, you know, killing people or whatever. You know, even auspicious things. And then you can make I don't want that. You know, I do want that. Okay, here we go again, you know. And so, Prabhupada says, you know, devotee has an auspicious dream sometimes because Krishna's accelerating the process and he can do it subtly. You know. So, we're still going through, that's nivritti marg, is going through these things, experiencing them, and saying, oh, I don't want that. I don't like that. Yeah. It's okay? Yeah. Yeah. You're saying the Sanskrit, you could take the Sanskrit in so many ways like that. I don't know, but that's somebody. But also, too, there's a contextual, again, actually the word is not context. Context means the environment, part of that. But the word, the technical word in language is diction. Yeah. Diction is the kind of, you choose a certain kind of word to say something like that, you know? Like in ISKCON, we say, oh, I'm going to take rest. You know, don't say, I'm going to go to sleep, you know? But somebody else says, that's our ISKCON jargon or addiction. So even like, for example, British people, they have a different diction than American people, English like that. So this is kind of like the word, Prabhuti Marg can mean this, you know, but that's not the way we generally use it in this conduct, you know, like that. But, you know, it could be, maybe I probably mentioned different things, different times. But here I think it's referring to this fact, you know, is this that, you know, poverty means to be involved in material activities and repeated birth and death, and nibbati means a pathway, a progressive pathway of liberation like that. Yeah. And so I would say bhakti yoga in general is nibbati. Where Rupa Goswami is describing it is also, you know, even Krishna, Bhagavad Gita, he says, just give up all varieties of sense gratification, surrender unto me, fix your mind upon me without deviation. Okay. If you can't do that, then follow the rules of Vaidhi Bhakti. If you can't do that, you know, so he gives like different options like that. So we could just, you know, just take up Anyabhilasa Dasha. Maybe read that first verse, you know. Anyabhilasa Dasha Nyam. Okay, that's it. Finish. Close the book. You know. Undeviating devotional service to Krishna. Yeah, because the whole book is trying to explain that in different levels. You know? And different people are on different levels like that. Some people come, they can, you know, I got to follow rules and regulations, some idea about what's going on. They're mostly motivated by different things like fear and desire, you know. But as they advance, other people come in right away, they just, they're worshiping Krishna, and they want to like do it in a certain mood. They want to hear stories. They want to, you know, they want to be involved in Raganuga. It's rare that somebody's going to come and be involved in Bhava Bhakti right away, because usually if you come to Bhava Bhakti, you would have made it out in your last lifetime. But somebody might like that. One devotee, Mayabharta, their child had no cerebral cortex. So the body was functioning, but there was no higher brain function, you know. And after a little while, it became obvious. Say, the scan and stuff. So they wrote to Prabhupada, they were disturbed. And as I understand, Prabhupada wrote back and he said, sometimes from a yogi or something, he has almost perfect, but he has a little bit of material desire this way and that way. So Krishna allows him to take birth in such a situation where he can like finish off his last little bit of karma without getting involved in anything. You know? So just, you know, make sure your child has take prasadam and is always hearing kirtan mahamantra. You know? So the doctor said he would probably die within like 4 months or something, but he lived for like about, it was like 9 months or something. He was just enjoying all the time. He was just sitting there like lying there eating prasadam. Kind of, you know, just looking at things and, you know, hearing Al Kirtan playing all the time like that. You know, it's kind of like ideas, kind of, you know, the devotee's ideal, uninterrupted Sunday feast. Like, you know, nothing but a continuous Sunday feast, you know. You know, and finally he's kind of functioning left. You know. So, yes, sir. Yeah. It can be, Daivi Varna Ashram is Nivriti Marg, yeah. And Varna Ashram, you know, if it's, yeah, because Jarasandha was following, he says, following Varna Ashram strictly. Yeah. But the thing is, if you're following it with a good attitude, it'll take you to Gyanakanda. Yeah. It's how you use it, you know. I mean, it's each one is a little bit less easy to misuse. You can misuse Karmakanda pretty easily. It's a little bit difficult, but more difficult to misuse Gyanakanda, because you begin to, you know what's going on, you know. And then Upasanakanda, then you right away starting to accept some higher personality and, you know, like that, you know. Yeah. So. Sometimes too, probably by myself, we probably kind of just in different ways like that. It's not like real, you know, like legalistic, you know, precise in some ways. It's like, you know, so you try to explain to somebody, this is an apple, you know. So I say, okay, apple, this is an apple, this is an apple. Is that an apple? Well, that's not an apple, it's a pear. A pear. And what's the difference? Well, it's like, you know, then you get something like a Fuji apple, right? Like that, you know. Well, it's like, you know, so they're saying, you know, the thing is, practically speaking, when you do it, until we come to Krishna, everything is a little bit uncertain. You know, until you actually come to a personal relationship with Krishna, all knowledge is actually not really fixed. You know? Yeah. 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 Our Vaidhi Bhakti.
Yeah.
It's Vaidhi Bhakti. Yeah. And some of them are yama and some are niyama. Some of the things you should do and some of you not do. They've already gone beyond Vaidhi Bhakti. They've gone beyond Raganuga Bhakti. Now they're at Bhava Bhakti. Yeah.
It's not like dropping without a few self, you know, that you have to, you are still under that.
Okay, so he directly explains that even in, well, there's different places, is it? But there he explains, Rupa Goswami says that one doesn't necessarily have to follow these. For example, the example is given, you shouldn't lie down in front of the deities. I think it especially means like in front of the altar like that, you know. I heard Prabhupada say you shouldn't offer dandabats on the altar. He said like that, you shouldn't, you know, you shouldn't offer your obeisances on the altar. So they're like dandabats, you shouldn't do that. But it says that, you know, in the more advanced stage of bhava, out of sentiment, then a devotee may do that. That's exactly the example given there, you know. And it's not wrong at that point, because now there's a higher principle involved. So therefore, in this level of bhava and prema, one may not follow these so strictly, you know. But it says that it doesn't mean you don't have. I mean, it doesn't mean you have to not follow them. You know, you can follow them, and usually they're quite natural, you know. So usually, someone on the platform of bhava and prema will be following all the rules and regulations, and quite strictly, you know. Because they're natural things to do like that. Pay your obeisances, circumambulate the deity, live in Mathura, you know, associate with devotees, read Srimad Bhagavatam, perform kirtan, you know, take shelter of an acharya, take initiation, you know. And if somebody even on the platform of bhava, you know, he'll come and he'll take shelter of a guru, he'll take initiation like that. It's just a natural thing to do. But he doesn't have to if there's a higher principle like that. You know? Yeah. Yeah. Shuddha Sattva. Yeah.
So, when we right beyond these So that goodness and profile of your goodness platform.
Yeah.
But you want to be more compassionate, you want to be you want to be good.
Yeah.
When you reach to the sutra, so we drop off the goodness.
So again in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, you should engage in your duty, you know, to set an example for others. So at least you should do that. Even kings like Janaka, even I myself, if I didn't do these things, then all the world would go to hell, like that. So somebody on a pretty transcendental platform, he sees everybody's relationship to Krishna. This person is totally absorbed in their body, you know? And so the only hope for them is to get in the mode of goodness, and then they can appreciate spiritual knowledge. So therefore, let me do something for them to put them in the mode of goodness, like that. So it's not in the act, it's an activity. It's like Arjuna, the same thing. Arjuna was not in the mode of passion and ignorance when he was fighting. He was in the mode of passion and ignorance, but he wasn't, what's the word, absorbed in it. He wasn't controlled by it. There we go. He was there voluntarily using it, and whenever he wanted to, he could change, he could act like however he wanted to. He could really come to the platform of goodness. He could, you know, because he had Krishna's authority to manipulate the modes of nature like that. So someone like Prabhupada, when he's doing something like that, you know, then it has this connection to the Shuddha Sattva platform. Yeah. Again, it's like in this building, is this a material building or not? You know? Like it's not material. Yeah? Not a material building. Yeah? Although it may appear to be, actually, I guess in the more passion. You know, the more goodness would be a little hot with grass or something. You know? Probably even said that, you know, in Mayapur, these big buildings are the mode of passion. Yeah. But they're not. Yeah. You might say they're in the mode of passion, but they're not absorbed in it like that. They're connected to the thing is they're connected to the Shuddha Sattva platform. But other than that, all these things are just connected to each other. You know? Like that. Passion is connected to ignorance, connected to goodness and passion, the connect is, you know, and it's coming from here and it's going to there. And every now and again, the mode of goodness, living into is given choices. You know, how you want to play with your dollies. You want to, you know, destroy your toys, or you want to play with them properly? I want to destroy them. Okay, then you're going to get weird toys again, indestructible toys, and, you know, that kind of stuff. You know? But you play with them good, okay, then we'll give you more subtle things. You can play with these different things like that. And if you play with them properly, then Krishna sees, well, okay, now I'm going to give you transcendental life. Okay? So in the mode of goodness, we create this, you know, new karma. Pretty much the mode of passion, I guess, is some, you know, you're responsible to some degree for what you're doing, but not so much. And the mode of ignorance, you're just not responsible. Like that. And because you're not, you're just being controlled like that. You're forced to do things, and therefore you're forced to experience reactions, and like that. Yeah. You don't chastise a dog. And like that. Yeah. Come to your senses, man. What are you doing there? You know. Listen to class, like that. Yeah. Why are you drooling? Yeah. This guy's nuts. Yeah. Yeah. He said goodbye to my morning duties, all these things. But that was the smarter rituals. Because he came from a very high-class Brahmin family. There's so many things you have to do and like that and so on. But then we don't abandon the rules and regulations. Probably the body doesn't follow these, what's the word? Achahara prayasascha prajalpa niyamagraha. Niyamagraha. So we become very strict about following those rules and regulations which promote our spiritual development. And we become less strict about those which are responsible for material development and that kind of thing. So he was saying, forgetting all those things, all those formalities. Sarva dharman parityadya mamekam sharanam braja. Okay, then I'm not going to fight the war. No, fight the war. That's the whole thing, is that Krishna, now we're following our varnashram system because Krishna tells us to. Prabhupada says that Ramananda Roy was engaged in nirjan bhajan. Bhavananda Roy and Ramananda Roy's brothers were engaged in making money. Gadadhar Pandit was engaged in worshiping, you know, in the Kshetra Shignas, worshiping the deity. I can't remember, there's a whole list like that. Nityananda was sent out away to go preach amongst the Karmis. Yeah? And Prabhupada says, by the arrangement of the spiritual master, different people are engaged in different service in the Sankirtan movement. And they're all equal, like that, you know? So therefore, different people are. It appears that Nityananda, well, he's just attached, you know, so he had to go and talk to all these people, associate with them, and, you know, so the different people may engage in something which, according to the modes of nature, appears to be like a certain thing. Yeah? But that's not, because now you're under the instruction of Krishna. So Arjuna was under the instruction of Krishna. Yeah. Before, you know, that's the mystery of the Bhagavad Gita, right? Is that he's doing the same thing, but now it's transcendental because Krishna wants it. Yeah? Yeah. And so nice Krishna wants us to be, you know, just to become detached. Just leave the body. Leave the body. And then engage in devotional service in your siddha-deha. Yeah? Maybe you're a cow. Okay, but now in this world you're Sri Hari. But actually you're a cow. Yeah. Okay. You have a question? Yes, sir. Oh. Yeah. By circumambulating the deity, one burns up all this, you know, in the future you have millions of circumambulations in the material world. Pig, gopher, dog, potato, you know, whatever it's going to be, you know. They're all waiting for you. But by going around the deities, you're finishing all those off like that. You're already circumambulating all the material world. And Prabhupada says, but once you go around at least three times, or how many times? Huh? As you know, 3, 7, 15, according to his vow. Different people according to their vow. So that makes the point, is that, yeah, different people can have different vows and devotional service. You know, somebody can vow to chant more rounds, somebody can do more circumambulation, somebody can build a temple, somebody can make money for Krishna, somebody can just, you can have these personal. But we take those usually in consultation with devotees and with the mask like that. It's all, the deity worship is so many of the processes of the 64 principles, so many are based upon the deity worship like that. Very important for us. Again, Prabhupada said, just chant Hare Krishna. That's all you need to do in the Kali Yuga, if you're a liberated soul. But we aren't liberated souls. And therefore, we need the deity worship. So that's why, again, it becomes like Nivritti Marg. Worshiping the deity becomes Nivritti Marg. Because everyone likes to dress himself very finely, Prabhupada says, like that. Buy new clothes, look very good. Now we go out, like that. But then you dress the deity very well. Everyone likes to build a nice house, have nice, so many things, cook nice food, so many things, have nice parties. Okay. So Nivritti Marg means we, give it all to Krishna, progressively like that, more and more. I can't figure out what the exact statement is in public. Prabhupada says one purport, he says, I was a sannyasi.
You should not be enthusiastic to be related.
Yeah. Well, also for grihasthas too, he said that when I was, maybe even before he took sannyas, he said, I was just making some money, maybe vanaprastha. I was printing books. And whatever little money came from that, I was maintaining myself. He said, only when these Western disciples started coming and money started to come, it was available then to be start to construct temples and so on like that. So temples are necessary for sankirtan, for preaching. But they can be simple. Before you had a program here, right? It was in the garage, Okay. But then, you see, that's the principle, is that the two things have to go on simultaneously. Like the true rails of a railroad, right? You got to have them both, Sankirtan and temple construction. Or what's it called? Bhagavat Dharma and Panchatriki Vidhi. But the Sankirtan should lead, Because sometimes we're engaging in Sankirtan to collect money to pay for the temple. It has to happen so many times in ISKCON, But the thing is, no, we should be building temples to support the Sankirtan. Devotees need some place for their purification. Guests need some place to get trained up. Okay, so as long as the Sankirtan remains first, then it's very natural. We build a temple, we should expand, or so many things like that. Guest houses. Okay. Huh? We were discussing him yesterday. Was it house? Because one citation, but I remember it says one should begin the worship of Vaikuntha deities like Ganesh. So maybe they took this word out or something. They're changing Prabhupada's books. Or else everything is presented twice, So he's called up by Ganesh, he's pure devotee. And he keeps, Vigna Vinasaya, he keeps learning Sringadeva's and his tumali, his tumors, he keeps learning Sringadeva's feet right there, So he's a pure devotee. Other demigods may not be in that position, like that. Garuda, too. Like I said, I think it's Sudama, that Krishna rides on his shoulders in Vrindavan. And when Krishna expands as Vishnu in Vaikuntha, he expands himself as Garuda in Vaikuntha. And then, of course, when Krishna comes in the material world as incarnations, and probably the same Sudama, Garuda, Vaikuntha Garuda, then becomes, Garuda in the material world. The same way Shiva, we can worship Shiva. You can go back to Godhead by worshiping Shiva, Because then you go to Sada Shiva. Eventually he becomes, a Vishnu form like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah? Like that. Yeah? So the different demigods are different. Yamaraj, I guess Yamaraj is. I've heard Prabhupada said Yamaraj is not always a pure devotee. You know, sometimes he wants. What is he after? Position, prestige, like that. You know, I'm the Yamaraj. You know? So that material desire can also be there for Yamaraj too. That he wants the post. You know? That's what I was. But then Ganesh, what he's describing, he's, I don't know if he's a Jivatma or not. Like that. I don't know. Durga is not a Jivatma. You know? Durga Devi is not Jivatma. Shiva. Durga Devi. Durga? No. I know she's Shakti. She's, you know, she's Shiva Shakti. Shiva Shakti. Sometimes. Yeah. Well, because they don't always want to know. And he's trying. He has a lot of servants, you know, and he's just put in charge of this position, and so not everybody wants to know, you know. So he can't all instruct them all. He has them all occupied like that. He's trying to communicate, but some of them don't really want to know. But then something happens, and then they see, okay, I was trying to tell you this. I mentioned this, but you didn't listen. And, you know, yeah. I told you before. You know. Huh? Yeah. Yeah. Hell, yeah. Yeah. Well, they aren't demons exactly. Well, I mean, you know, it's kind of a weird service, you know, like that. I mean, one Ganga Narayan, one devotee, he said he wanted to be. He did sankirtan. He didn't like it. He was always you know, irritated with people and stuff like that. And he said he had this dream about being a Yamaduta, and all the people who'd bothered him on sankirtan. He'd take them to hell and, you know, force them to pay their obeisances like that, you know, with chains like that, you know. Buddhimanta was, you know, so many people give you a hard time on sankirtan, especially in the airport. There were so many things like that, you know. And he had a dream of chaining some guy's leg to this big long cord that was attached to an airplane that was taking off, and the guy would be dragged all the way through the airport screaming like that, you know. You know, so it's kind of like I'm being a Yamaduta. It's like, you know, it's a chance to maybe just gratify your desires for revenge and that kind of stuff, you know. But as a devotee, you know, yeah, because you're, you know, it's all, I don't know, I don't know, it's all complicated. You know? I mean, I guess you can go beyond the bounds of torturing people for punishment and do it for your own gratification, then you get a reaction for that. It's like prison guards. They can be good prison guards and bad prison guards. Yeah. Yeah. This hurts me more than it hurts you. Yeah. Ooh, wow. Thank you. They're really gross people. They have bristly hair on their bodies and stuff like that. It's real, you know. It's like, you know, what a policeman should look like. There's one guy who paddles everybody in Singapore. If you commit some crime and they pull you in, pull your pants down and whack your rear end like that, you know. You know, for one time for something, you know, five times for something, 23 times, which is really bleeding. It's really, you know, physical. You know, I don't know how long it takes to heal like that. But the guy who does this big, you know, bald-headed Chinese guy, you know, a big guy like that, you know. And they have his picture everywhere like that, you know? So it's like, you know, like the retribution is like a physical person like that waiting for you there like that. So you're thinking about stealing something or something like that. You know, or remembering this big Chinese guy is waiting for you, you know? So it works. It's like a, you know, a certain way, you know? Yeah. So you're, you know, Yamaduta. One thing I noticed here, okay, my particular fantasies of conflict. It says here, Brahmande Brahmatikom, all living entities are rotating throughout the universe, going sometimes up and sometimes down Where is it here? Yeah, what was it? Yes, Krishna. This is a material disease, it was known as Parvati Marg. Okay. Where is that there? Oh, yeah, my room got wrong. Nothing but words, so I can't find it now. Those were the material words that worship me. Yeah, if one is the information, nothing back to Godhead. Oh, yeah. If one attains that destination, he need never return to this material world. This is a big controversy that once you go back to the spiritual world, you never come back, right? You know, and Prabhupada is saying here, he need never return. You're not forced to come back like that, but the option is always there. That's my, some of us, that's our position. In quotations from Prabhupada, you always have free will. You know? But once you go back, you're enjoying so much pleasure that you could not possibly choose to come back. There's no free will then. It's like a drug addict. You know, it's like you can't give up this drug. You're experiencing so much pleasure that you can't give it up. You know? So Goloka is kind of like a drug addiction. You're just like experiencing. No. You always have choices, free will. It's a kind of subtle thing. But for me, that point was here reading that. He need never come back. You don't have to. You're not being forced. But the option is there. Okay. Yeah. No. We're here because we chose to be here, huh? No. But once you come here, you need. You're forced to go through all these things. I've heard Prabhupada said, you know, he said that he says they never come back, and probably said it's possible. He kind of laughed and said it means almost never. And then he said, somebody in Hawaii or somebody was asking about him. He said Krishna is perfect. He creates the perfect reform school and the perfect prison, you know. And once having gone through it, you don't come back again like that. But so how it actually works, this is a big level. This is like, you know, Hal trying to understand what daddy does all day. What is work? You know, it's like, so we're trying to understand what it's like in Goloka and free will and this kind of stuff. But basically, something like that is that, you remember something. Of course, there's no memories in Goloka. There's only conscious, continuous conscious awareness. Yeah, strange place. Yeah. So basically, it was the one, because then, I don't want to come back. I don't want to suffer. That's personal enjoyment. You're not concerned about Krishna's enjoyment. You're concerned about how I'm going to suffer and not suffer. So I want to go back and be forced to stay there because I don't want to come back and suffer again. But this is mukti. Mukti. This is a desire for liberation, for impersonal liberation. Yeah? Not that I'm a person, I have my choices. Because only if you have this choice to leave Krishna, you have a choice to stay with Krishna. Right? Krishna's not giving forcing anybody to stay in Goloka, right? He does what he wants to because he wants to do it. He gives you something, and you give him something because you want to do it. Yeah, so he knows that everybody's doing things because they want to do it, not because he's so giving them, you know, so much gratification or like that. You know? So again, Srimad Bhagavatam is the literary incarnation of God, right? How do you want? Yeah. Die. Krishna. Huh? Yeah, you mentioned last night. Yeah. Coming back. Yeah. Okay, looks happy today. Happy today. Good breakfast. Yeah. So, and there's no Krishna, Lord Chaitanya. He's Chana Avatar. He's covered incarnation like that. So there's no manifest incarnation in Kali Yuga. Idam Bhagavata Nama. Puranam Brahmasamitam Charitam Nishraya Shraya Lokasya Trusti Danyamayato Mahat. Yeah. The Srimad Bhagavatam is a literary incarnation of God. Yeah. And so it's the center of all of our books like that. Everything, Lord Chaitanya Charitamrita is a Srimad Bhagavatam class. Brihad Bhagavatamrita is a summary. Krishna book is the 10th canto, Bhagavad Gita is the ABC, so you're ready to understand it. Yeah, everything is Srimad Bhagavatam. the duty of the spiritual master is to teach Srimad Bhagavatam to his disciple. Vrindavan Das Thakur says, my only desire is to study Srimad Bhagavatam life after life with Lord Nityananda as my teacher. Okay. So you start to go into it. All these stories start to become manifest, and little words and little parts of the Sanskrit start to become more and more like, it opens alive. You know, you start to, the pastimes start to become alive, and Prahlad Maharaj, you're actually there, and like, you know, what's happening? And, you know? So we go on with Srimad Bhagavatam. And then in the spiritual world, it's there too. Same thing is there. You buy a full set of Bhagavatams, you can take them back with you. Take the Bhagavatams back to the spiritual world with you. Like that, you know? And it goes to different levels. You know? The Bhagavatam goes all the way to Ras Lila, but it doesn't identify Radharani so much. You know, that's a little more confidential knowledge, but it's there, different verses and stuff. And again, in the higher planetary systems, there's more volumes to Srimad Bhagavatam, bigger things. They have bigger intelligence, everything else. Yeah. So, you know, our Prabhupada's progressive program then was these basic books, you know, like that. And even Nectar of Devotion, we're just studying, Upadeshamrita is a summary. You know. Upanishad, again, is Upanishad. It's even more basic than Bhagavad Gita, actually. You know. And then Bhagavad Gita is getting us to the Paramatma, this kind of thing. Of course, Bhagavad Gita as it is, then Prabhupada gives a lot more information about things like that. But even still, doesn't go into a lot of details, more like that. You know. And then Nectar of Devotion, of course, David Haberman says that Nectar of Devotion is basically an extract from Srimad Bhagavatam, like that. You know. And it seems like that. You see, most of the citations are from Srimad Bhagavatam. But most of Srimad Bhagavatam is about Daivi Varna Ashram Dharma, my point of view. It's talking about relationships and the men and women, Diti and Kasyapa and all these things, Chaivana, Sukanya, but how they're all related to spiritual life, like that. You know? So the Nectar of Devotion just pulls out like almost like the strict, you know, bhakti, you know, things like that, you know, all the way up to the highest level like that. You know? So it's like a summary. But in Bhakti Shastri, we only study the first part. Maybe Prabhupada suggested that, you know, which is Samanya Bhakti. And what is Samanya Bhakti? No. What's it called? Bhagavat Veda, Veda something or the Bhakti. The western part of the eastern part of the ocean is called Bhagavad Veda, Veda something. It means varieties of devotional service. It's like a summary. Yeah, something Bhagavat, something Veda. It means varieties of. And what, how many waves there? Four waves. Okay. What are their names? The first wave, the second wave, the third wave, and the fourth wave. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Huh? No. That's the. We're in the eastern direction now, and there's four waves there. Samanya Bhakti. Yeah. Which is what, just general principles. Yeah. And then. Sadhana Bhakti. No. Samanya, Sadhana, Bhava, and Prema. Yeah. And the southern part goes into Bhava in tremendous detail. And then the eastern part and the northern part go into Prema Bhakti in more detail. So really, most of the book is about Prema Bhakti. Yeah. And then more is about Bhava Bhakti. So in the, what's it called? The western part? Bhava Bhakti is just two chapters. And Prema Bhakti is one chapter. That's all it is like that. It is quick summaries. Later on we'll go more detail. But most of it is Sadhana Bhakti and Samanya Bhakti. Samanya Bhakti is like, what is Bhakti? Right? Definition. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
It's still the eastern thing. It tells you when it changes. Then it goes to Raganuga Bhakti. I think there's two chapters on Raganuga Bhakti. I'm not sure exactly, maybe like 14, 15. It's 14,
15, 16.
How many chapters in the whole thing? Eastern Division? 20? Okay. So 20 is Prema, 18, 19 is Baba, and then 16, 17 is going to be Raganuga. Yeah, because in Vaidhi Bhakti, you're following rules and regulations. It's like a piano scale. It's just there. It says, you know, so much time for this note, this pitch, you know. Okay, yeah, yeah. So then in Raganuga, you're starting to listen to how, you know, Rachmaninoff plays to Tchaikovsky's symphony or something like that, or Ali Raka or something like that, you know. So now, but you're still practicing, you know. It's not your sentiment. You're Raganuga. You're going after the Ragatmika guy and, like, you know, trying to do it the way he does it, like that. You know, trying to distribute the books the way Navina Nirada does it, like that, you know. Or else someone else likes somebody else, how they distribute books, you know. Yeah? Or deity worship, you know, how you dress the deities. You know, all that, you know? So now, Krishna's got to have this, like, this thing and that thing. Or even lunch. Certain things have to be there, you know, on the lunch offering. But after some time, you begin to appreciate, like, you know, well, this goes better with that, and this goes better with that, and stuff. And you start to, you know, see how people are combining it with a certain flavor, you know. And you start to get a taste for that. So now you have a spontaneous, you know, sentiment, you know, for this, mentioning that. You know? And in the association of an advanced devotee, you can do it like that. But when he's gone, it's like you're kind of stumbling along. But when, you know, when you're playing with the advanced devotees, you can you just like them, you know, because you can, it's your level, you know. And by doing that, that then starts to stimulate your bhava, your actual, you know, the Vishuddhasattva platform. So your real sentiment starts to come out. So in Raganuga Bhakti, I guess you might be, you know, following a raga which is not your raga. You know, all the men might be attracted to Bhima, and all the ladies might be attracted to Gandhari, you know, or something like that, you know. But as you become more purified, you begin to be, even though you're in a male body, you start becoming attracted to the gopis, you know, and their service, you know, like that. And then that's becoming, and again, it's not like, again, like you drop the rockets, you drop the things off. As far as I understand, and then Bhakti Vidya Purnamartha at the same point in one class, it's not like Adoshrada, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, okay, you are one, or the next, or the next, or the next. It's very German. No, okay, I'm basically in the platform of Nishta. I'm really fixed in my sadhana, you know, Ruchi, yeah, yeah. I'm starting to get some real taste in devotional service, and sometimes I'm not really attached to Krishna. I just will suffer any kind of thing, but not very often. And on the other hand, I still have some doubts, but almost nothing, you know, a few doubts, you know. So it's like a bell curve, kind of more like, you know, we're on. And so as you're progressing, okay, now you're going from Raganuga to Bhava, you know, some real sentiments are coming. But maybe they're not regular, they're starting to come, you know, you're starting to express yourself. And then now the whole thing at that level, there's a whole technique, you know, for stimulating the Bhava. Yeah? And that's what we bring the qualities of Krishna. So the book describes all the qualities, 50 qualities of Krishna, expert linguist, good dresser, you know, judge of time and place. So the thing is, at that level, those things are not for learning, they're for relishing. Even David Haberman in his commentary, he says in the beginning he's bothered by all these citations. You know, but that's why he began to realize the book is not just for knowledge, acquiring, oh, this. The book is actually for relishing these things like that and contemplating them. You know? And then you start to come right back with this, you can do it. It isn't like, you know, okay, here's a book on bicycle riding or something, a movie on, you know, okay, so I can, you know, I read the book, I can ride a bicycle. No, you can't ride a bicycle. You got to get out there and try, you know, and, oh, going downhill, uphill, turning the corners, this and stuff, you know, braking, changing gears, you know. So you got to do it like that, yeah? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's like Vrindavan Dhamma Himamrita, got the Bodhananda Saraswati. This guy's a fanatic. He's an incarnation of Tunga Vidya. If somebody tells me to leave Vrindavan, I will cut out his tongue. If somebody tries to pull me out by force, I will kill him. Even though I'm so poor that I'm crying from a hunger and I have to steal from others to live, I will never leave Vrindavan Dham. Okay, this guy's going to achieve perfection just by... Yeah, by worship of Vrindavan. But of course, you know, then automatically, if you're worshiping Vrindavan like that, you're going to associate with devotees. You're going to, you know, it's all will kind of come in different ways. Some people are just, they make that. I mean, some people you see, they're very attached to the temple. I'm not, you know, my nature's not like that. You know? Somebody, I'm more attached to chanting, you know. And somebody else may be very much attached to associating with devotees. I know people like that. They're just kind of like this. You know, they always want to be with devotees and stay with devotees and get Prabhupada's association, this Swas and Yasi and Swami and these people and how to, you know. One devotee I know, we were just joined together almost at the same time. He was invited to a Dhamma party and he has some like psychological problems, so he was, I think he's finally given up. But, you know, after 25 years, he finally gave up smoking marijuana, you know. You know? But it was basically almost like self-medication because his mind was such a, you know, horrible thing, you know. But then also he had problems. He was married and then separated and got remarried. His kids got married and devotees and separated and got remarried. And finally things settled down like this and that, you know, typical Western American thing. You know. But they all got, you know, remarried to other devotees. It was all like an ISKCON. You know. So, and he said, you know, after all these years, I can really see that if you just stay in the association of devotees and don't commit any offenses, like you just you accept like your position, and I'm, you know, when Viala, he was the black devotee, he was in Paris temple. It was right in the middle of Paris, you know, which is a really heavy, intense sense gratification era. The Mangala Arati would go on. It's a good sized temple room and like that, and the ladies were there with their saris, and the boys with their dhotis, and then after the Arati started, maybe like five or six French girls would come in, dressed very beautifully, young, very good looking, with perfume on. And of course, they were prostitutes, you know, finishing off their night's work like that. They would come to the temple in the morning like that, in Mangala Arati, and they wouldn't, you know, try and stand with the other ladies. They would keep in the back like that. I mean, stand and be respectful and stuff. And before the thing was over, they would leave like that. And so everybody, it's like Dwarka. They're going back to Godhead. If they just do that every day, even though Prabhupada says sometimes you're trapped in a profession which is not very glorious, like that, because of your karma, your nature, your stupidity, whatever, you just, your God, Prabhupada says that. And Dwarka, there are people like that, you know. So, okay, you just become attached to the temple. You know? But then what are you going to do? You're going to hear and chant and everything else like that, in your own way, you know. And after some time, they're going to want to learn. They see like a, you know, Gurvastikam translation, you know, they're going to, you know, pick it up and memorize it. You know. And you talk to them, you realize this person is more advanced than I am. You know? But they have this kind of karma. Just forget it. You know. If I was in that position, I'd be stuck in the same thing. You know. Okay, so Prabhupada ki. Nivritti marg ki. Okay. But one step at a time. We'll still have a good prasadam. Ashes.